As usual, before we start today's sermon, let's pay our respects to the Lord Buddha by chanting Namaskara 3 times.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa.
So you know, when Buddha was walking on this earth, it was not just Buddha who was a spiritual or religious teacher, right? Not the only religious or spiritual teacher at his time. There were many other spiritual teachers, right? Ascetics, religious teachers. And they all had their own theories about how this world works. They all had some sort of doctrine or theory, or we can say a view, right? About how this world works. So now Buddha also had a view about how the world works, right? So, now, among these contemporaries of Buddha, there was an ascetic and his name was Brahmin Bhavari. So, this Brahmin Bhavari had 16 students. And each of these 16 students, right, they each had 1,000 students of their own. So this Bhavari, he is the, let's say, the guru or teacher, right? And he had 16 chief students. And each of these 16 chief students, they had 1,000 students each. When this teacher Bhavari, when he got to know that there is a teacher like Buddha, and he also is teaching some doctrine for the liberation or for the salvation or for the enlightenment, then, since he was very old, he did ask his 16 students to go to the Buddha and learn this doctrine from Buddha, right? So, then these 16 students, they did go to the Buddha, and then there is a whole event in the scripture, right? What happens when that happens, when they go to the Buddha? So, all these 16 students, right, they ask questions one after another, right, according to their personality or temperament, right? So, in samsara, right, we have all developed different types of temperaments. So, temperaments, if I give you the more Pali word, the Pali word would be gati, right? In samsara, as we have done many different things, right? Those different things, they have created some sort of gati, right? The way we have thought and the way we have spoken, right? And what kind of things we have done, right, with the body. So that creates some sort of gati, right? So obviously all these 16 students, right, they are all not same individuals. They also have different gatis, right? They have different temperaments. So, according to the temperaments, they did ask questions to the Buddha, right? So, now among these 16 students, there was one who had very highly developed wisdom. And his name was Moghraj. Did you get it? Among these 16 students, there was a student, right, among the 16 students, and his name was Moghraj, and he was very well developed in wisdom, right? So if we talk about the enlightenment, we know in order for us to get enlightened, we need to develop many factors, right? So Buddha did call them 37 factors of enlightenment, right? If we combine all those different factors, right? In English, the term is 37 factors of awakening or enlightenment, right? So, So this 37 factors, they have many different set of factors within them, right? So one of these sets is Pancha Indriya, right? Or five faculties, let's say, right? So those five faculties are Sati, Samadhi, Virya, Pragya and Shraddha, right? So Mogharaj, right? He was someone who was very well developed in wisdom, right? So now perhaps the other students, they might have more Samadhi or more Virya or more Shraddha, right? But this Mogharaj, he had more developed wisdom faculty, right? So now when they all came to ask questions to the Buddha, the Mogharaj wanted to ask questions to Buddha earlier, right? At the very beginning, he wanted to ask question to Buddha, but Buddha would not let him be. He did give chance to the other students to ask the question because he wanted the Mogharaj to listen to the other answers, right? First, before he asks his own question. So then, other students, right? They go on and they ask their own questions. And finally, when the Mogharaj's turn comes, right, to ask the question, and now Buddha has to give him turn since everyone else has asked question, right? So then Mogharaj finally asks the question to the Buddha. Buddha, how do I see the world so that the king of death cannot find me or he cannot see me? So then Buddha did say, okay, Mogharaj, if that is what you want to do, then the way you have to see the world is, you have to see this world as empty. That is what Buddha did tell Mogharaj in reply to the question that he asked. Buddha said that you have to see this world as empty. If you can see this world as empty, then the king of death will not be able to see you. So, Buddha said, ladies and gentlemen, sunyato loko, or shunya loko. That is what Buddha did say, right? So, shunya means, you can, so shunyo or shunya, right? These words, they basically means empty or zero, right? Or something that is non-existing. Right, so why did Buddha say sunyo loko? So in order to understand why Buddha did say sunya loko, why the Buddha did call the world empty, we have to understand anicca dukkha and anatta. Really, only when we understand anicca dukkha and anatta, right, only then we would be able to understand why did the Buddha say this world is empty. So now in last sermon, last Saturday, we did do this experiment with the laser lights, right? Actually, we did not have laser lights. Rather, we had this white flashlight and then we had some different color filters. And then we did do some experiments in order to realize the... actually in order to see this anicca, dukkha and anatta characteristic of the world, right? So even today we'll try to understand this emptiness of world, right? In what way this world is shunya, using that example, right? So I'm just waiting for the flashlight and filters to come. So once they come, I will show you something, some experiment, right? And we'll try to think about why the Buddha did say this world is empty. So those of you who haven't watched the sermon online or who are not present in the audience, filters as well, right? Okay. Thank you. So in the last sermon, we were discussing this example of color mixing to understand anicca, dukkha and anatta, right? So we did draw this table, right? So we were discussing about this table. So I will draw the table, and actually we are again going to continue the experiment that we did start last week, right? So the first column that I have in table is time, right? So the simple, right, nothing complicated, the normal time that we think. Anyway, something else that I would like to say before we do this experiment is, we have to understand something, ladies and gentlemen, that enlightenment is for the ignorant, right? It is not for arhants. Buddha's doctrine is not for arhants, for those who are enlightened already, right? The Buddha's doctrine is meant for people who are going to get enlightened, right? So, if they are going to get enlightened, then that means right now they are ignorant, right? So, then what I want all of you to do, I assume none of you are arhants, right? And if you are not arhants yet, then what I ask you to do during the duration of this sermon is, I want you all to just be a very normal person, right? Normal person in the sense that, see, you either, now of course it's not easy thing to do because you all have perhaps listened to many sermons, right? So now the thing is, either you have understood those sermons properly, in which case you don't really need to be here, right? So now I'm not telling you off, but it's just that if you really have understood all those other sermons, right, where Anicca, Dukkha and Anatta has been explained, then obviously you will not see something new. You will see the same thing that you have understood. But in case you have not understood all those sermons, even though you have been part of them, right, then now what you need to do is you need to take all those data from that sermon, right, whatever you have learned, and keep it aside, right, for the duration of this sermon. And just try to be naive, right? Just try to think about things from very normal perspective, right? Just like extremely normal person, right? Everyday person, all the other human beings, right? Who have not listened to the sermons, right? Who don't know Buddha's theory. So just think like them, right? For the duration of this sermon, right? So we are going to do some experiment, and for experiment we are going to use this table. So the first column in the table is time, right? So time as we just normally know, right? So right now there is some time. The clock says it's 7:45, right? So some time, right? That's the first column. And the second column that I'm going to draw on the table is causes plus conditions, right? So C plus C means causes plus conditions, right? So causes means the causes, right? Those the things which creates the effect. And condition means, let's say, how they are arranged in this context, right? The way we arrange the causes, that is what I mean by conditions, right? So causes and conditions. And the third column that I will take in the table is effect, right? So if I take some causes and I arrange them in certain way, then what effect will you observe, right? So that is what I mean by the effect, right? And the last column that you will see in this table is mental feelings or experience, right? So you know, every time when we observe something, right, then about that observation, we feel something in our own minds, right? Every time when observation happens, then we have some sort of experience, right? So when you see something, some sort of thoughts, they happen in your mind, right? You feel something, perhaps some emotions or feelings or thoughts, right? Something happens in response to these observations, right? So you experience something in your mind, right, when you observe the effect. So that is what I mean by mental feelings or mental experience here, right? So Now, I'm not talking about the mental experience of enlightened, right? Not the arhants. I'm talking about the mental experience of normal person, right? What they feel when they observe the effect, right? So, I'll put that in the last column, right? So, I will just write EXP, that just means experience. Now, when I say cause and effect, these two columns, they basically mean what the, so for this context of this experiment, these two columns, they just mean physical matter, right? I mean, we are referring to physical matter. So we are observing something physically and then we feel something about it in our mind, right? So these two columns, obviously, they represent what happens physically, right? So then I will add a title here. Physical matter. What's the Pali word? Rupa, right? So can you read it from there? Yes? Okay. And the last one, what do we call experience? Nama, right? Technical term? Nama, right? Nama and Rupa. Right. And I think we better delay this, maybe do it in the future sermons. Because if I just give theoretical explanation, it would not be very nice really. If you see it in physically, these things, then you would understand it so much faster and easier. But it seems, unfortunately, at the moment, we don't have those filters, right? So please pardon us. So then I will erase this, and perhaps we'll just try to understand something using this flashlight that we have, right? But not this experiment, right? What color can you all see when I mix these two colors? So separately, of course, you can see red and blue when we mix them up. Is it kind of purple? What do you all think? Pink? Looks like pink. Now? Looks a bit like a pink. What would you all say? Yeah? So then, right, let's start the experiment. So, the time right now, what's the time? Is it 7:51, right? 7:57. Okay. So, so 7:59 a.m. So, for the purpose of this experiment, what we will do is, so now, of course, time has, we can divide time in multiple ways, right? We can divide the time into the light years and hours and days and minutes and so forth, right? So we can even have nanoseconds and picoseconds and so on and so forth. So let's keep ourselves limited to the minutes, right? And let's assume that the smallest unit of time is minute, right? So we don't have any smaller units of time than the minute, right? So after 7:59, it's not 7:59:01, it's just 8, right? Let's keep it like that. So 7:59, so we'll do the experiment as well. What we do is, I take the blue laser light, right, and I take the red laser light. So I don't have the red marker pen, so please pardon me. So blue and red, right? So I just show those two colors to you separately, right? The blue light and the red light, right? So just like you did see just now before, right? So that is all that we see. So is there any effect at that moment? Nothing, right? There is no spatial different effect. The causes and conditions are, the effect is same as the causes and conditions, right? So you don't see anything special. So I am not pointing anything here. I'll just write just blue and red, right? Because there is no spatial effect there. And when you see a blue light and red light, what do you feel in your mind? That a blue light is there and red light is there, right? That is what you feel in your mind. Okay. So I will just write in the feelings or experience, right? So as I did tell you before, when we observe physical reality, then we feel something about the physical reality, right? So this last column is about what we feel when we observe the physical reality, right? So what did you observe? The blue and red. And what do you feel? The blue and red colors are there, right? That is what you feel. So I will just write that. Right. So now I will just show the colors, right? So we have two colors, right? The blue and red, you can see. So let's say this is 7:59. We only see red and blue, right? Nothing else. Now, when I bring them together, right? Let's say it's 8 o'clock now. What do you observe now? We no longer, so these laser lights are not perfect, they are a bit scattered, but if they were focused and if we had perfect circle, then I would overlap them perfectly. Then only thing that you would see is what? The pink, right? You would not see any red or blue, right? The only thing you would see is what? The pink, right? So now, what are the causes and conditions? The overlapping of blue and red, right? And what would be the effect? The pink, right? Okay. Now let's leave this box empty for a moment, okay? And somewhere perhaps, yeah, just keep the effect somewhere if you can, right? Okay, so let's take the exact time. What's the time now? 8:03, right? So let's say, so when did we start this? 8:03, right? So you can all see in the clock back there, up there, it's 8:03 right now, right? So when did we start? Let's say 8:03. Forget about the seconds. Okay. Now, after a minute passes, I hope this will not run out of battery. So 8:04. If the Sanagarika Mahatya is here and he is keeping this blue and red laser light in overlapping position on the board, you can see, right? So we are not doing anything to blue and red, right? The lights, they are remaining as it is, right? Okay. So will you not see the pink then? Just like before you did see pink, you will still see the pink, right? If we don't do anything to the blue and red, then you will still see what? Pink, right? So I will just write here, pink. So now you can all see on the clock again, it's 8:04, right? So we did not do anything to the blue and red, right? So then this pink that we are observing now, how long this pink has been here then? When did we start this? 8:03, right? 7:59, we know there was no pink, right? 8:03, we did start this experiment, and since 8:03 until now, we have been observing what? The pink, right? Okay, you can turn it off now. So now, if I ask a normal person the question, given all this data, right? So imagine a scientist is doing this experiment, and he is noting down all this data, right? That this time we did start bringing the colors together, and this time we are still continuing to observe this pink effect, and all these facts he is recording, right? So now, if I ask him at 8:04, how long the pink has been there, then what would he say? A minute, right? A normal person, what would he say? That we have been observing this pink color for how long? For 1 minute, right? So I will just write that pink for 1 minute. Okay. So if the pink is there for 1 minute, then when we have started to observe this pink first at 8:03, right? Or let's say a normal person, right? When he's observing this experiment, when he sees the pink at 8:03, right? What must he have felt in his mind in order for him to say at 8:04 that pink has been there for 1 minute? Pink started, right? That is what he must have felt, right? So the thing is, the reason why I kept that box empty is because before explaining this or showing you this, if I had asked you, then the only thing that you would tell me is the pink is there, right? But actually, ladies and gentlemen, when we are living our day-to-day life, all the experiences that we have, right, they are all always in terms of what? Beginning, right? Something has started, and something is continuing, and then something will finish, right? Or something will end or destroyed or whatever, right? If there are people, then we say die, right? If there are events, then we say finish, right? Or destruction. So basically, our whole mental experience, right? The fundamental way we experience the world is we always think in terms of the starting and continuity, right? And then end. Right? What must we have felt here? Even though consciously we don't reflect that this is what we feel, actually, what we really feel when we see this pink, right? The only way you can say that pink has been here for 1 minute is if when you did start to observe pink, you must have felt in your mind what that pink has started, right? So I will just write pink has started or pink did begin, right? So right, so pink did start or begin, and then now this pink has been here, right? We have been observing the pink for how long? 1 minute, right? Okay, so now tell me one thing. So imagine that I did not ask that Anagarika Mahatya to stop the ping that we had started, right? Then if this was the ping that we had started, right, at 8:03, so this ping, right, this ping did start when, according to our experience, at 8:03, right? So even this ping, so let's just see this ping for a moment or two. So now we have been observing this ping, right? So even if we forget about these timings, we feel this pink hasn't started now, right? This pink did start earlier, right? Maybe just even few seconds ago or something, right? This pink, we don't feel what is really happening, ladies and gentlemen. We somehow feel that this pink has a history, right? Okay, so now this pink, right, which has been there for 1 minute, or even this pink, any pink, if they have history, that means the same pink was there in the past as well, right? That's what it means, right? If the pink, we say that the pink that we are observing now has been around for 1 minute, then that means the same pink was there a minute ago as well, right? So, if this pink has been here for 1 minute, if it has existed for 1 minute, then that means these two pink are same, right? They must be. Now the thing is, if these two pink, if they are same, then where did this pink come from? From the blue and red here, right? It did not come from the blue and red here. This pink, it came from the blue and red here, right? The pink that we did observe at 8:03, which we feel started, came from the blue and red that we observed when? At 8:03, right? Okay. And these two pink, they are same. Okay. So then, imagine that this pink is the pink that we observe right now. So this is the, if I put it more precisely, let's just say this is past and this is present. So if this pink is continuing from the past, right, then the thing is, the causes for this pink are here, right? They are not here. Then why then do we need this blue and red? If this pink, the reason why we see this pink is this blue and red, then why do we need the blue and red here? Tell me. Right. So, now blue light is too scattered, but it's here. And the red light is there. So then where did the pink go? So imagine that in present moment, right, the pink that we are observing just before the Anagarika Mahatya did separate them, right, where did that pink go? I mean, that pink had started in the past, right? And we did not change the past, did we? Does any of us have superpower to change the past? No, right? We did not do anything to the past, right? We only did do something to the present moment, right? I mean, we did only change the causes in the present moment. So then when we did separate the blue and red, so we can turn it off now. So now this is no longer present. So what would we say when the blue and red were separated? What do we feel in our mind? The pink that we are observing earlier, it's gone, right? It's no longer here. It's gone. That's what we feel, right? So I have just wrote pink gone. So now, if again I do this, if I bring together blue and red, right? Then again, so you can see blue and red separate again, right? And again, I bring them together. So now, what do you see? Pink. Now when you see pink, do you feel that you have just seen the pink, or more precisely, do you feel now you have, you are looking at the pink again? What do you normally feel? You feel that you are now looking at the pink again, right? So now when I do this, now if I were to add entry for this thing on the table, right, then what would we write in the mental experience? Now I have been observing the pink again, or pink came back. That is what we feel, right? The pink came back. So see, when we are living our day-to-day life, right, this is how we feel about everything. we feel we have been observing things again and again. That is what we feel, right? So we also feel that things, right, whatever you call it, event, a person's life, some event, or just a physical thing, something, right? We feel about all these things in terms of beginning, right? That they have started, or they are born, or they have been created, right? That is how we think about all these things in normal day-to-day life, right? Forget about the Buddha's philosophy, right? So without Buddha's philosophy, that is how we feel. And of course, if something has started or if something has been born, right, then of course it's going to continue as well, right? And that is what we feel. That is why we always think that things have age or lifetime, right? So everything that we know, we feel they all have some sort of age, right, or lifetime. So just like you did observe that you felt about this pink, that the pink has some sort of lifetime, that is how you feel about everything, right? Now the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, if this pink had a past, right, and it did exist in the present moment because of that past, then why would we need this causes in the present moment to see the pink in that moment, really? And the thing is, if when we separate this blue and red, if the pink, this pink is gone, right? Try to think about it, right? When we separate this blue and red, if this pink is gone, right, then what it means is that this pink did not come from here, right? When these two pink, they were not same, really. But we felt what? That they are same, right? Now the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, so we can observe that this pink, we know one thing now, right, from this, that this pink that we did observe in any given moment, right, it does not come from the past, right? Even though you might feel in your mind that it has a past, it does not come from the past, really, right? So that is one thing. Now tell me, if this ping does not come from the past, then when you did see this ping, right, let's say this pink or this pink, doesn't matter, but when you are in the process of observing pink, right, so now if I bring the pink again, I say again, so now if we look at this pink, then it started and now it's there, right? And then perhaps if I press both of these buttons or even one of them, then we will no longer be able to see the ping, right? So if I imagine that I'm not going to press these buttons, so I tell you, right, I give you my word that I will not press these buttons and the battery also won't run out, then now you have been observing this ping, right? So then this ping will have future as well, right? That is what we feel, right? That, I mean, otherwise, how can you count the lifespan, really? So there is a future as well, right? The effect, we feel that when we did see the pink, that pink has future as well, right? So now the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, if the pink has future, then again we can do the same experiment, right? If something is there which is continuing and if it has a future, right, then the thing is, we don't need the causes in the future in order for that pink to be there, right? So again, you can think about it in the same perspective, and what you would know is that this ping, or even this ping, right? So if this ping did not come here, then did this ping have any future? If this ping did come here, then we don't need this blue and red, right? And if this ping did not come here, then that means, did this ping have any future? No, right? So you can see that this ping did not have any past, right? Then this ping also did not have any past. It does not have future. Now, the subtle thing that we need to understand, right? So we did talk about at the beginning of this sermon that Buddha told the Mogha Raja, right? That this world is empty. So empty in what way, really? So, see, now we know two facts, right? If you have contemplated this experiment, we know two facts, which is that the effect does not have past, right? Because if the effect has a past, then you don't need the causes in the present, right? An effect does not have future, right? Because if the effect has future, then now you know, just when you create an effect, right, then now you can immediately remove the causes and it would continue, right? Because if the effect has a future, so we know effect does not have future, it does not have a past, and what about the present? So, when we think about the nature of the world, right, I mean everything we say, so the fundamental way in which we think about this world is in terms of time, right, in one way. So there are other things also, right, but one fundamental fact of our experience is time, right? We feel the world exists in the time, right, and the world is continuing to exist in the time, and we are all living within the time, right? We are living within the time, right, and world also exists within the time, right, and time means a continuity, right, from the past, present, and future. So we feel like time is there, right? So we did see that effect cannot have past and future, but what about the present moment, right? The present moment. So when it comes to the present moment of time, right? Okay, now try to think about this. When we say that it has been 1 minute now, right? What do we mean? We mean that there was 1 second, there was one more second, one more second, one more second, so on and so forth, right? So when we add all those seconds, that is when we get a minute, right? And if I ask you, how do we get a minute, right? Then you would again tell me that we can divide the second into more parts, right? And then when we add them up, then that is when we have what? A second, right? So on and so forth. So only when there are non-zero values and we add them up, only then we have what? Some value, right? Some more value, a non-zero value. We only have a non-zero value when we add up non-zero values, right? Multiple non-zero values. So, the present moment, we need to understand this present moment, right? It is because this present moment, right? Let's come back to the mind now, really. So, the present moment means what? So if this is a timeline, right? Let's say this is the beginning, right? And this is the past, right? And this is present and this would be future. So basically now this present moment, right? This present moment still has some duration, right? Some length. That is what we feel about the present moment, right? That present moment has some duration or length, right? We don't feel that present has a zero duration or zero length. We feel present moment has some duration or some length, right? That is why when you add many present moments, what do we get? You get time, right? If the present moment has some duration, and if you add all those present moments, then what do you get? You get some value, right? So, see, now try to think about this, right? Even in the present moment, right? If I were to do the same thing, right? Imagine that this is, whatever the length of present moment, right? What I do is at the beginning of the present moment, right? I bring together blue and red, and then you can see the pink overlapping, right? So when you see the pink overlapping in the present moment, then now even before this present moment finishes, right? What I do is I separate those blue and red, right? So you understand at the beginning, or let's say there is a present moment, right? And I have so much supernatural powers that what I do is I can manipulate the physical reality at such a fast pace, right? So then what I do is at the beginning of present moment, what I do is I bring together blue and red. And then what you can see is you can see the pink, right? And now even before this present moment finishes, what I do is immediately when the pink is there, I remove what? The blue and red, right? As in I separate them from each other. So if that is what I do, right? If the pink remains even without the blue and red, right? Then that means we don't actually need blue and red to create pink, right? And the thing is, if we need blue and red to keep the pink or to observe the pink, right? Then that means this experiment, right, that we are trying to do in the present moment, right, in absolute, just one moment, right, so forget about the past and future, just even within the one moment, right, if at the beginning of moment we are able to create something and without the causes, right, if it can exist, then that means it is not an effect, right? So then if it is not effect, then we don't need any other causes to create it, right? So I think this has become very complicated, I think. So I really did not come here to perplex all of you, really, or to confuse you, but it's just that Buddha's philosophy, we need to do some experiments and really see for ourselves really what's going on. So basically what we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is when you actually, now you can all take this experiment and think about this more times, right? Just that, when you really understand that effect cannot have past or future, right? Then you will understand something about the present as well. And when you understand what the effect means in the present moment, that is when you will understand what Buddha did mean when he did say that sunyo loko, that this world is empty, really, right? So this is an experiment that you can do, really. So you can actually think more about this experiment, right? This table, try to think about this table and just try to observe the nature of pink, right? In this way, really, then you will understand what it means. Now, let's take some more examples of anicca, dukkha and anatta, right? So we know that Buddha did tell us that all our problems that we have, right, in our minds, they are result of ignorance, the wrong knowledge, right? Or the only way you can have mental vexation or suffering or any other mental problem which bothers you, right? The only way you can have those things is if you have a wrong knowledge, right? So what is this wrong knowledge that Buddha did talk about? So Buddha did say that even though the world is anicca, dukkha and anatta, right? We believe that world is nitya, sukha and atta, right? That is what Buddha meant by the wrong knowledge, right? The fundamental wrong knowledge. So wrong knowledge means believing that the world is nitya, sukha and atta, right? So what does the nitya, sukha and atta means? So let's try to imagine that I take some water containers with different shapes, right? So I have a water bowl like this. And there is a water inside. And then I take a glass. And then let's say I take something else as well, a glass of a different shape. So I basically take some water, right? And then I take three containers, right? You can see these three containers, 1, 2, 3, right? So there is a water bowl and glass, and there are two different glasses. So I take some water and I put water into all three containers, right? Now the thing is, now if I ask you, does water have a shape, then what would you tell me? The normal answer, you would tell me water has no shape, right? That is what you would tell me, and that is what we are normally taught in the school, right? That water is shapeless in liquid form. So I take the water in liquid form, right, the normal temperature, and I put them in these three containers, right? So when I put the water into these three containers, now you know that the water will take this water bowl shape, then the glass shape, and the third glass shape, right? So water will take this three shape, right? So these three shapes are there. We can see water in these three shapes. And of course, everywhere else in the whole universe, right? Wherever there is water, can you ever see the water in shapeless form? Really, even though we say the water has no shape, right? Wherever you go and see the water in universe, right? No matter where, right? Will you not observe water in some shape, really? Even though we might not have a word for that shape, you will always observe that water is in some shape, right? But what do we say? Water has no shape, right? But what we'll always see? We'll always see water is always in some shape, right? Okay. Now the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, even though we observe water in all these different shapes, right? Can anyone say that this is the absolute shape of water? But then can someone say that this is not shape of water? And someone said, this is not shape of water. If this is supposed to be not a shape of water, then why would water take this shape? You know, now, of course, I mean, when we think about why the water is in this shape, we know it's not very complicated, right? The water ball, the walls of water ball, right? They exert some force on the water molecules. That is why we can see the water molecules having this shape, right? So, now the same applies here, right? We can say dynamic equilibrium, right? Or whatever words we would like to use, right? Basically, sum total of all the forces which are working here in all these three examples, they are responsible for this shape, basically, right? Now, the thing is, now imagine that someone believes that water has... So, if I ask you this question, what is the shape of water, right? I ask you that question. What is the shape of water? And now these are the options that I give you. So, can you give me either of these answers? Absolute shape or absolutely no shape? Can you give me either of this answer and be correct? Would you be telling me truth if you give me either of this answer about the water, the shape of water? Either you tell me that water always has this shape, right? So this is the absolute shape of water. You know it's not true. And if you tell me the opposite thing, right, that water has no shape, right? So if water has no shape, then why, how come we observe the water in so many different forms, right, in so many different shapes? So then you would not be able to give me this answer either, that water has no shape, right? So now imagine that you have a question about what is the shape of water. Can you ever find a definite answer to that question, really? What is the shape of water? Wherever you see, you always observe water in some shape, right? But does water want to be in that shape? But then does water have a preference to not be in that shape? That's not true either, right? So then, we think about the world in such way, really. When we think about this world, we think that things have a preference, right? The causes, they have some sort of preference to be in some way. So if the causes, they have preference to be in some way, right? Then the world would not be cause and effect, really. If the causes have some preference to be in some way, right? Then you cannot do all these things, really. Just like if water had either preference to be in some way or to not be in some way, right? Then you would not be able to, if water had preference to be in some way, then we would not see water in any other way, right? And if water had preference to not be in any way, then no matter how much you try to pour water into all these different containers, you would never be able to give any shape to it, right? But of course, none of those things are true, right? So we can't actually say water has a shape or water has no shape, right? So then what do we say, right? We feel we need, so this ignorance, ladies and gentlemen, it's like when Buddha did say the wrong knowledge, right? Actually, one way to think about the wrong knowledge is you need this certainty or definiteness, right, that how things are, that is what we want to know, really, right? How is it, really? But the thing is, just like you cannot give any absolute answer about the water, about how it is or how it is supposed to be, right, Just like that, for everything else in this world, you cannot give any definite answer, really. That how is it or how is it supposed to be, really, right? Whatever we observe, the reason why we observe is because there are some forces, and those forces, they are acting on the causes, right? So because of the forces acting on the causes, we observe what we observe, right? But when we observe something, that does not mean there is something there which wants to be in that way, really. So, is there anything in here which wants to be in this shape, really? No, right? Is there anything here which wants to be in this shape, or in the third example even? No, right? There is nothing which wants to be in this shape, but this shape is there, we can observe this shape. And the reason why we can observe this is because there are some sort of forces and they are acting on the causes to keep, make them in this arrangement, to keep them in this arrangement, right? But the thing is, this is a dynamic equilibrium, right? It's not static, it's not set in some way, really. So you know that if I remove this water ball, right? So imagine that just, so this water ball, for example, it has some water, right? So if I was a magician and if I had some superpowers, right, that I do abracadabra and then this water ball, right, it disappears, right? Immediately it disappears, but the water, nothing happens to the water, right? So will you ever see something like that, do you think? No, right? So if I immediately make this water ball disappear, just the water ball, right, the container, then what would happen to the water? It will be scattered, but is that supposed to happen? Will that happen everywhere in the universe? What if we do it in empty space then? No gravity then? Then again that will not happen, right? Something else will happen. So see, no matter what the situation is, ladies and gentlemen, whenever we create a fixed model of any type, right? So what I mean by fixed model? So we project some entities onto the collection, right? So when I say there is a water in this water ball, what do I mean by that? So for example, imagine that so imagine that I just put four molecules of water in this bowl, right? Just the four molecules. So if I only put four molecules in this bowl, right, then there is this molecule, that is one, there is this molecule, that is two, this is three, this is four. So where is the water really in these four things? We call the collection of these four things water, but water is not something apart from these four things, right? It is not a fifth thing, really. But when we think about and when we are talking about the world in normal way, what we see is that water is there in the water bowl, right? We don't say that there are just X number of molecules in the water bowl, right? And now, of course, you can say then at least these four molecules are there. But then if I take any of this molecule and then I ask you where is the molecule, then you would have to show me what? You would show me that there are two hydrogens and one oxygen, right? But you would not be able to show me what the molecule means, right? The word molecule. So you know the molecule only means the arrangement of those three things in some particular way, right? Two hydrogens and one oxygen. So this things as in atoms, right? The arrangement of atom in particular way, right? But molecule does not mean something apart from those three things, right? It is not something more. Of course, I mean, just like when we did do this experiment with the colors, right? When we bring together blue and red, we see something more, right? We don't, when we arrange the blue and red, when we bring them together and when we overlap them, then of course we see something more, but you know for a fact that that thing that we observe, right, something more, that does not have an independent existence, right, apart from the causes. So sometimes we can see some quote unquote, right, the spatial effects, but we know even though spatial effects are not really spatial, they are also dependent on the causes, right? So there is nothing spatial really. So anyways, so now if you were to take hydrogen, right, and if I ask you where is the hydrogen, right, then now again what you would show me is you would show me one electron and you would show me one proton, right, and that's it. Hydrogen has no neutron. So those are the two things that you can show me, right? You can't show me anything else really. And if I ask you where is the electron, then now you would show me perhaps quarks, right, and then you would not be able to show me something else. So on and so forth, ladies and gentlemen, ultimately, you know, whatever we find, right, it will always be dependent on some other causes, really. We'll never find something discrete, really, in the matter. And now the thing is, now even though the world is like this, right, what happens in our mind is, so wrong knowledge basically means ignorance, right? So when there is an ignorance in the mind, so the mind, right, whenever we know, whenever the mind is created with some sort of data or knowledge, right? Either that data is correct or it can be incorrect, right? So knowledge or data or information or views, whatever we call, right? But when the mind is created, if that mind is created with the wrong knowledge, right, then there will be certain type of experiences, right? Those experiences can happen, but they are not really true, but they can happen, right? And when the mind is created with the right knowledge, then that can also happen, right? So let me give you an example. So this is a feature of mind which we need to understand really. So imagine that it's dark. It's dark and you are going somewhere on the street. So let's say you are walking from there to this side, right? And it's dark, right? And when you are standing there, suddenly ahead on the road, you feel standing there that there is a snake there, right? That is what you feel in your mind. So you are there, it's dark. And when you are there, you feel that there is a snake there ahead on the road, right? So that is what you feel. Now, when you feel in your mind that there is a snake ahead on the road, you immediately feel afraid, right? You take your experience seriously. Okay, I feel the snake, so snake must be there. So now you feel afraid. And now, of course, you need to go to your home through that route, right? So you are now afraid. But anyways, you go ahead, right? And you walk very slowly and carefully because you don't want the snake to bite you. So you are walking very carefully from here to there. And when you go there, it turns out that there was no snake there. It was just a piece of rope. But because it was dark and you could not see clearly, you felt in your mind that there is a snake there, right? So even though you did feel the snake is there, even when you felt it's a snake, what was really there? All along it was just a rope, right? But the thing is, when this experience of snake happened, right, and you did not know that it is just an experience which is result of some distortion in the mind, right, then you did take that experience seriously, and that is when you were afraid, right? And that is when you felt afraid and you had fear and all this other emotion, right? So now the thing is, now imagine that that happens quite a few times, right? And every time when you go and see, every time it turns out that there is never a snake, it's always just a rope. Then now, afterwards, right, when that experience of snake happens, now you know, right, that it's just a rope, right, it's not snake. So, see, what I want to say is that when, just like the water is not supposed to be in any way, right, the mind, even though we say mind, there is no such thing as the mind, really, right? Mind is just combination of causes, right? So now we can talk about the mind in different ways. If you ask Abhidhamma, how do we understand the mind? Then Abhidhamma will say that the mind is made up of Chaitashika, right? So Chaitashika are like the mind, mental factors, right? That is what Abhidhamma would say. So if you ask someone else, they might say the mind is Rupa, Vedna, Sanya, Sankhara and Vijnana, right? If you ask someone else, they might define the mind in some other way. So regardless, what we need to understand is the mind is collection of causes, right? And causes, just like everything else, all the causes, right? They don't have any preference to be in any way. So because the causes, they don't have any preference to be in any way, the wrong knowledge can also be there and the true knowledge can also be there, and the mind can either be created with the true knowledge or with the wrong knowledge, right? So if the mind is created with the wrong knowledge and you don't know what is the truth, right, then now just like that man who did take this experience of snake seriously, you would also take this experience, what experience? The experience that I will talk about now, you will also take that experience seriously, right? And then you will feel that you will get other emotions based on taking that experience seriously. So, okay. So when mind just happens, so the mind basically we can say, even though we say mind has two processes, right? The normal aggregation process and a defilement process. Actually, defilement process also is just aggregation process happening with the wrong knowledge, really, right? That is what this defilement process is, right? When aggregation process happens with the wrong knowledge, that is what we call defilement process. So when there is a ignorance, right, then Buddha did say there will be attachment, and there will be vexation because of that attachment, and there would be abhisankhara, and finally there would be jati and jati dhamma. So I will explain what these things mean. So jati and jati dhamma, right, these two things, if you are to talk about these things in very abstract way, the jati and jati dhamma, they basically mean that they basically means that there is something, right, let's say there is some thing X, right, and that X also has some description, the way it is, right? So I'm now talking about things in bit abstract way, but there is some X. And how is it, how is that X? X is in Y way, right? So, yeah. So basically we think that there are things, and those things, they are in some way, basically, right? That experience is the final product of this defilement process, right? So various things. So for example, So, X basically means some sort of entity, right? And Y means some sort of description or the way it is, right? So, we have all these ideas and models in our minds about how things are really, right? So this process is always happening in our mind, and we are always thinking about how whenever we see something, we feel we know that thing, and this is how it is, or this is how it should be, right? So we have ideas about all sorts of things. So we believe that those things, they are out there in the physical world, right? And the way we think they are is how they really are, and that is how they are supposed to be, right? So this feeling or this experience, right, this is what Buddha meant by jati and jati dhamma, really. So if I give you some examples, so for example, you have ideas about other people, right? When you look at, when the sight happens, right? So what happens in the process of seeing? So actually, even though we say, we use the word seeing, it's not that we see something really. The colors are generated in our mind really, right? We don't see colors. So it's not like this whiteboard has white color, and that white color is here, and then when you open your eyes, then you see the white color here. That is not what happens, right? When the light reflects from the matter here and it contacts with your eyes, right, then the sight is generated in your mind, and during that process, colors are generated. So anyways, when those colors are generated, and when they are aggregated, right, and when those shapes are interpreted in the image, right, then we get some sort of ideas, right? So even the people, right, for example, how do you know that there is a monk here right now? How do you know that? Because some colors are happening in your mind, and I don't know what colors are happening in your mind. I know how, if I were to go in front of mirror, then I know what colors happens here based on the matter here in that moment, but I don't know what you see here. So anyways, but whatever you see, right, this is interpreted as a monk, but how do you know that a monk is here? So what happens really is image is generated and the shape is interpreted, right? These colors, you can distinguish the colors here from the colors here, up, down, right? So based on the separation of colors, you can interpret these shapes as how something, as a monk, right? And now the thing is, when you see someone, anyone, monk or normal person or whoever, you feel there is something there, and that something is in some way, right? And whatever that way is, right, that way you feel is unique, right? It's a unique way, right? So when you look at people, different people, don't you feel that this person is there and he is in this way? So for example, you feel that you might know someone, and you feel that they are someone who gets angry very quickly, right? So you might have that description about them. So you think there is some X there, and what is the Y there, as in the description? How are they? They are someone who gets angry easily. And you might see someone else, and you might see something else, right? Someone, they talk nicely, or they have some skills or something, right? So you have all sorts of descriptions or models about the people, right? So this is just about the people, but even about the animals and all the different beings, what we call being, you have all sorts of models in your mind that this is how they are, right? A way. And when it comes to the physical matter, right, then even about the physical matter, you feel that it is in some way, right? So if I give you example, now, what color is this light supposed to throw out? Tell me. When you look at this, what do you call this? Normally, even if you don't know any specific label, what would you call this? You would call this a blue laser light, right? What do you think when you look at this? Don't you feel that this blue laser light is supposed to give out the blue light when you look at this? Even before I turn this on right now, right? Based on the past data, don't you feel that, see, now we come back to the ping, right? Just like you felt the ping is result of the past, right? Then ping should continue, right? And the ping that we observe now is the result of the causes before. Just like that, see, the same thing happens here. When I show you this, now you feel that this blue light is supposed to throw. How is it supposed to be, this blue light? It is supposed to give out the blue light. That is what you feel, right? When you look at this laser light. Tell me, is there something in here which is supposed to throw blue light? Or is it just that whatever causes are there at any moment, according to the collection of those causes and arrangement of those causes, you will see something. But is there something here which is supposed to throw out the blue light, really? So now, see, this is the thing, ladies and gentlemen. So now let me turn on this blue light, what we call blue light, right? Okay, so now imagine that if I had not told you any of these things, or if you did not know Buddha's philosophy, then what you would think is, of course, it is a blue laser light. It is supposed to throw blue light. What is so special? But the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing here which is supposed to throw out blue light, right? So I'm not saying blue light should not happen. What I'm saying is that there is not a thing here which is supposed to throw out the blue light, really. There is perhaps a battery here, and there is a lens here, and there is a LED here, and there is a circuit here, and wires here, and all those things are there, right? Together, right, when we do something, when we turn on the switch, right, then they together, right, the combination of these causes, it gives the blue light, but there is nothing there which is supposed to give blue light, really. Right, so, okay. Forget about this laser light. Tell me, what do you see here right now? Blue light, right? Are you supposed to see blue light on the whiteboard? Tell me. Are you supposed to see blue light? Or do you see blue light because there is a white light here in this room? That is also one of the causes, right? Why you see blue light? What if we change the color of these lights in this room? Then tell me, what is the color of this laser light then? Imagine someone wants answer to that question. Someone is curious about what is this, right? So they know this is supposed to throw out some light, and they want to know what color will come out from this light, and they want a certain answer, right? An answer which would be true in all conditions. Tell me, can they ever find an objective answer to that question, really? An answer which would be true in all conditions. So right now, you see blue light, but is that normal? Is that how it is supposed to be? As we did discuss, right, if we change the lights in this room, then you will see something else, right? So imagine if we change all these lights into the red lights, and then the light on the whiteboard is not white, but the red light. And when I turn on this blue, will you see blue? And when I move this laser light on the whiteboard, then what will you feel? The pink light is coming from this laser light, and that pink light, the science, when he is moving this laser light, he is moving the pink light, right? Am I moving the pink light, really? Then tell me, in this moment, am I moving the blue light then? Then what am I moving? Is there any answer to that question, really? See, when we are curious, ladies and gentlemen, right? This curiosity, right? Either we can have curiosity based on vexation or without vexation. So when we have curiosity with the vexation, that is because the mind believes the wrong knowledge to be true, right? Whenever you want a definite or objective model of something, this is how it is, right? You are never going to be happy, really. That is the end of all your happiness, really. Whenever you want a definite model of how it is, right? And you will frustrate and frustrate and frustrate yourself trying to find answer, but you will never find an answer, right? We did see the water shape of water example, or we can take this color example, right? And this is the feature which applies to everything in this universe, really. Nothing that you see is supposed to be in that way. Nothing that you taste is supposed to be in that way. But it is in that way, in that moment, but there is not something which is supposed to be in that way, really. It's just causes coming together, really. So, there is no such thing as normal, really, right? So I'm just talking about this defilement process from so many different angles, right? But this is all just description of defilement process, the end result of defilement process, right? So you have all these views about the normal in this world, right? This is how it is supposed to be, right? So another way to talk about the same thing, really. So all these models, right, that you have in your mind, you need to contemplate about these models, that these models are not absolute models. They are not supposed to be in that way, but they are in that way because of the causes in that moment. And you can't generalize anything out of any moment, really, right? So just like I turn on this laser light and you see blue light. I turn on this laser light again, you see blue light. So when I do it multiple times, then every time when I do this, right, because your eyes are focused here and everything else is, I assume, working, then the mind happens, right, and some colors happen in the mind, right? So basically, some sensory data is added to your mind, right? And from that sensory data, you create a generalization, right? That this is how it is, right? So there is a thing here. And this is how that thing is, really, right? And the thing is, this is where expectations come from, right? You know that reason for all your disappointments in the life is because you have expectations, right? If you don't have expectation, how can you be disappointed? And where do expectations come from? The expectations come from these normal models that we believe about the things, right? So, even about the people, right? Even you can even take examples from your own life. You can take anything and think about whether it is really supposed to be in that way always, right? So perhaps if you take some food that you don't like, right? Is that like fixed like or dislike, right? So are you always supposed to dislike that food, really? You might feel like that. But the thing is, you know, if the causes were different, right, as in, so perhaps, you know, let's say there was some food, right, your parents did not eat that food, right, and they told you that it's not so nice, so don't eat it, right? So because of that view, you did not eat that food, right, and you still have that feeling, right, so you dislike that food and you don't eat it. But if your parents, just the example, right, just a hypothetical example, if your parents had given you opposite view, then you would eat it, right? And you would perhaps even like it. So tell me, are you supposed to like it or are you supposed to dislike it? See, whenever there is something, right, then you cannot stop yourself from having curiosity about how it is, right? And the thing is, even when your curiosity is satisfied, right, and then you are able to create some sort of model about this is how it is, right? So, for example, when I show you this and you feel curiosity, and when you do some experiments and you play it with for some time, and then you find out, okay, this is throwing out blue light. So what is the model that you create about what you think is here? You think the laser light which is here is supposed to throw out the blue light, right? And the expectation now is always there. And now imagine that you go in a room with the yellow light, for example. When you go in the room with the yellow light and you take out this laser light which you think is supposed to throw out blue light, and you turn it on in the room with the yellow light, then what will you see? What is coming out of this laser light? You will feel green light, right? You will feel that this is throwing out the green light. But tell me, is this throwing out the green light? Is this the source of green light? Then when you see this blue, is this the source of blue light really? But the thing is, don't you feel that this is normal? Right now what we see, this is normal, right? I mean, this room has a white light, and in white light, we think that this is throwing out the blue light, and we feel that is normal, right? This is not normal either, ladies and gentlemen. This is not normal, really, right? There is no such thing as normal, right? This process of ignorance, it always creates some sort of normal in our mind, right? The model, the normal model. This is how it is supposed to be. So basically, what you have to do is, whenever something happens, right, either physically or mentally, right, whether you have some sort of mental experience, or you observe something physically, something happens physically, right, you need to contemplate that this is not normal. So that does not mean it is abnormal. There is no normal and there is no abnormal. Just like there is neither a shape of water, neither water is shapeless. Then how it is? You want to know answer to that question because you have wrong knowledge, really. Even though there is no answer, you want to know answer to that question. Does water have a shape, or is water shapeless? If you believe water has shapeless, then now you will be so perplexed about how come we see water in so many different shapes. And if you believe water has some definite shape, then when you see water in some other shapes, you will be disappointed, right? And if you see water in so many other shapes, right, then you will get perhaps even more perplexed why water has so many different shapes. What is the reason, right? So, like that, ladies and gentlemen, actually, you know, we cannot create any generalizations, really, right? So, with that, then, let's conclude today's sermon, right? And let's do merit transfer. Okay. Let's transfer the merits then. Let us take a moment to transfer the merits we have all acquired today by making offerings to the infinite virtues of the Noble Triple Gem, chanting Pirith, listening to the Dhamma, and engaging in various meritorious deeds today. First and foremost, let us remind ourselves how incredibly fortunate we are to be in the receipt of the Lord Buddha's teachings, and with immense gratitude, let us transfer these merits to the Bhikkhus, Bhikkhunis, Upasaka and Upasikas, who since time immemorial have protected and preserved the sublime teachings of the Buddha and passed it down through the generations of the noble lineage in the form of Tripitaka, which is thankfully available to us to study, understand and comprehend the Dhamma. Let us also transfer the merits we have acquired to all members of the Mahasangha present throughout the world, including the chief prelates of all the chapters who have dedicated their lives to the noble path and have committed themselves towards the betterment of all sentient beings. Let us not forget that among them are the monks and nuns resident in your local temples and nunneries who have always been by your side through thick and thin, come rain or shine. Let us also transfer the merits to Guru Swami Hans and all the other monks resident at this monastery, as well as Anagarika and Anagarikas attached to the monastery. Let us also take a moment to transfer the merits and express our gratitude to those who make great efforts to disseminate the teachings of the Buddha, be that by translating these sermons, if may by the power of this merit, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plains. May through the power of this merit, they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the noble eightfold path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also transfer the merits we have acquired to our devotees and friends of the monastery who, for the sake of merits, continue to sustain the Mahasangha. This includes everyone from those of you who have contributed to the constructions of the monastery to those of you who provide the Mahasangha with shelter, arms, ropes and medicines, as well as those of you who have passed on their know-how and extend their well wishes. May, through the power of this merits, they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer all the merits to our mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, nephews and nieces, our elders, friends and acquaintances, employers and employees, and to all those who have helped us, supported us, assisted us in every way, shape or form. By the power of these merits, may they be healed of any physical and mental ailments, overcome any obstacles to their spiritual progress. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer merits to Devas and Brahmas, spirits and demons, primarily the Sakka Deva, as well as numerous gods and deities who are committed to protect and fulfill the Sambuddha Sasana. Let us also transfer merits to our guardian deities who keep watchful eye over us and keep us out of harm's way. May, through the power of these merits, they prosper in divine power and wisdom. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us also take a moment to transfer merits to our ancestors who have predeceased us, to all those who have been families and friends and acquaintances in this infinitely long journey in sansara, and who have helped us, supported us, and assisted us in every way they could. Let us transfer the merits. Let us also transfer the merits to the members of the armed forces as well as the police forces who have sacrificed their lives to protect the peace and harmony of our nation. May all those who have lost their lives in the war, be they friend or foe, rejoice in the merits that we have acquired today. Let us also transfer merits to all those who have lost their lives in natural disasters such as tsunamis, earthquakes, landslides and pandemics, reminding ourselves that among them will be those who have been friends and family to us in this infinitely long journey of sansara. Let us take a moment to transfer merits to them. May, through the power of these merits, if any of them have been born in the woeful plains, may they redeem themselves and be born in the blissful plains. May they abstain from the unmeritorious deeds, fulfill the meritorious deeds, fulfill the Noble Eightfold Path, and may they all attain the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Finally, let us resolve that may, through the power and blessings of all the merits we have acquired today throughout the day, we be able to witness the advent of many hundreds of thousands of arhants on this blessed land. And finally, may, through the power of all the merits we have acquired today, you and I and everyone who has helped make this program a success become arhant tuhans and arhant many mahanse in this very life and in the era of Gautama Supreme Buddha itself. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. May the blessings of the Noble Triple Gem be with you all.